Well,
the microphone. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, that you have promised to give us strength and wisdom to guide our feet in the way of knowledge and of truth. We pray by your Holy Spirit, you will direct us, teach us, and lead us as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, on that passage from Ephesians that was read, when he ascended on high, he led captivities in his train and gave gifts to men. That is St. Paul's rendering of Psalm 68, verse 18. I say rendering because St. Paul takes the initiative to change what Psalm 68, 18 says. For Psalm in the Old Testament reads, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and received gifts from men. But St. Paul takes it and says, when he ascended, our Lord Jesus Christ led captivities in train and gave gifts. In the Old Testament, at the festivals of enthronement, people gave to God. But now, St. Paul says, the festival of Jesus Christ, now God gives us gifts. And we're going to see this morning how the prior, preeminent gift that God gives to his church is apostles. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, for we're told, for the edification and building up of the church. But first, before talking about apostles, I thought I would put them perhaps in the whole picture of Scripture, because some people find Scripture very difficult. And so I thought that we ought to see how Scripture can be divided into three parts. First, we can have the words of the prophets in the Old Testament who anticipated the saving work of Jesus Christ. They anticipated, they spoke, whether it be Moses or as in Daniel, which the children are going to hear about, or in Isaiah. They anticipate the saving activity of Jesus Christ. That's part one of the Bible, the first 39 books of the Old Testament. But then there's a middle section, and that is the four Gospels. The four Gospels, what are they doing? Well, they are giving an account of the saving activity of Jesus Christ, giving us his life, his death, his ascension, and so on, and the coming of the Holy Spirit. These are in the Gospels. Anticipation in the Old Testament, account of the saving work of God in the Gospels. And then we have this great section of 23 books, which begin with the Acts of the Apostles and ends with the Revelation. And these are the teachings of Jesus Christ after his saving work. So the three A's, like a battery, you can have anticipation of the saving act, you can have the account of the saving act, and you can have the after the saving work or the application of the saving work. And it's very interesting to see how in each of those three groups there is a leading spokesman or spokesperson. For in the anticipation period of the Bible, you have the prophets as the ones who spoke forth of the coming of our Savior. And then, of course, in the Gospels, the spokesperson is our Lord. How so frequently he speaks about his death and resurrection. 5 times in Mark's Gospel, he says how the Son of Man is come to give his life. They will crucify him, and after that he will rise again. But of course, the disciples didn't understand it. But Jesus is the spokesman, the explainer of his saving act that he is going to accomplish in his death and resurrection. But now then, when we come to the spokesperson for the latter third, which is the epistles, the spokesperson is, of course, the apostles. And I think it's good for us to know that the Greek of apostle means apo from, stel sent. And the apostles, whether they, as they did start in Galilee, are those who are sent from the Lord to mission. And the apostles in the last section of the Bible are sent from the risen Christ to be spokesperson for him. And so I think that that helps us. Here we are, you're going to have 12 sermons in the next 4 months, and 9 of them are going to be from Galatians. That's a story, isn't it? That 9 from Galatians, well, that's in part 3. You're going to have 2 from the Gospels, part 2, and you're going to have 1 from the Psalms, which is in part 1. Anticipation, account, and application. Well, now I want to see the apostles. So these are the spokesmen for the Lord, the risen Lord, sent from the risen Lord. But I think as we look, I want to show 3 things about these apostles. First of all, is their beginning. And here we have it. We had it in Matthew. We could have it in Mark. Jesus called the 12 and sent out them 2 by 2, giving authority over unclean spirits. And he said, take nothing for the journey, no bread, no bags, no money, only a staff. Well, we've got to say, if that's how Jesus sent out the first apostles, we have to see how limited they were in what they were to do and where they were to go. Because you can't go far without money in your pocket. You couldn't get on any transport. You were to take no bread and you were to take no clothing at all, only a staff. So it is a very limited sending out. But it is not only limited, it is restricted. Because in that reading that we had in Matthew 10, go nowhere among the Gentiles, enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the sheep of the house of Israel, and say the kingdom of God has drawn near, which means that I, the king, have drawn near. But you see, they are not to go to the Gentiles, and they're not to go to the Samaritans. And the Samaritans weren't Gentiles and they weren't Jews. They were half Jews and they were half Gentiles. But they're not to go even to them. but they are only to go to the house of Israel. So you can see the 12 apostles that people used to celebrate with their apostle spoons are very restricted, very limited, and not only limited, they are also deficient. For you can remember how they were a great sorrow to Jesus. For when Jesus had been on the Mount of Transfiguration, and the people had brought a boy, an epileptic boy, and the disciples couldn't do anything about it, and three Gospels all refer to, "How long shall I bear with you, you faithless people?" Oh yes, yo yes, oh yes. We mustn't idolize the disciples as they are in the Synoptic Gospels. They're limited, they're restricted, and they're deficient. Indeed, and we know that they all forsook the Lord. One denied him, and indeed another betrayed him. So that's how they begin. The apostles begin. But I want you to see something marvelous. They were very dull, and they were very limited, but they become increasingly dynamic and full of power and wisdom. Well, what changed them? And I think that this is the great thing between this account of the saving act and the application afterwards of the saving act. There's a great transformation comes upon the apostles. Where do we get the clue? How did they become changed? Well, let's have a look at how Judas was succeeded. Yes, we know how Judas betrayed our Lord, and he died a horrendous death. But he had to be replaced. And this is what the Acts says. "It is necessary for us to choose one who has been with us from the beginning until Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." This is what was the key to the appointing of Matthias. He had to be a witness of the resurrection. Do you know, the same thing we can see is the key to understanding St. Paul. St. Paul was often maligned and is still maligned. He wasn't an apostle in the days of Galilee. But he was an apostle and he had to defend himself. And what did he say in 1 Corinthians in chapter 9 and verse 1? "Am not I an apostle? Have I not seen the risen Lord?" You see, like Matthias, they have to see the risen Lord. And this is why in the Acts of the Apostles we have three accounts by St. Paul of his seeing the risen Lord on the Damascus Road. The resurrection changed everything, and it changed these early apostles to be dynamic, and it changed Saul to be Paul, the great apostle. And I think as we look at this seeing the resurrection, it wasn't, as it were, a vision in the night. It wasn't something, a fantasy. It was something that happened in space and time and was real. Because you know that when Jesus appeared in the resurrection, St. Paul was blinded for 3 days. Well, that's some power, that's some radiance. Then also that he lost his appetite for 3 days, and he lost his thirst for 3 days, and also that he spoke with the Lord. He saw the Lord, he spoke with the Lord, and you don't normally speak to visions. Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? And he heard the reply, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. You see, his hearing, his seeing, and his speaking were all touched. This made St. Paul, as it made the other apostles, the great people they were. What did John say in his letter? He said, that which we have heard with our ears, that which we have seen with our eyes, which our hands have touched, we proclaim to you. This is what made these men the resurrection. And we can't also forget that attached to the resurrection, as in the upper room, they saw the Lord. The doors were closed, and the Lord came upon them and said, peace be with you. And then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Ah, that's it. They not only saw the resurrected Lord, but they received the Spirit. Do we realize that the disciples in Galilee had not received the Spirit? Only Jesus had the Spirit. But now the disciples had received the Spirit. They received the Spirit. And this made them the men they were. Oh, wonderful. And so the latter half of the Bible, the 23 books of the New Testament, written by apostles, are these special books that are the messages from the ascended Lord to us via them. For didn't Jesus say, I have much more to say to you? You can't bear it now. That was before his death. You haven't got the Holy Spirit, and you haven't got the time or energy to understand what I'm doing. But when the Holy Spirit is come, he will teach you everything. Ah, isn't it wonderful that we have the full revelation of Jesus? The apostles are ambassadors on earth of the heavenly King in glory. And that's why in this text, he's made some apostles, some prophets to proclaim the teaching of the apostles, some evangelists to be itinerant, and some to be pastors and teachers, to be people who are residential in an area. But it all starts with the apostolic revelations from the risen Christ. And you're going to do Galatians, and Galatians isn't easy, because there were people there, as you know, who felt that faith in Christ wasn't sufficient. You have to have Jewish regulations as well. Well, St. Paul in Galatians, this is the whole theme, says, no, it is faith alone, faith in Christ, receiving the Spirit, and walking in love. Ah, we're greatly privileged If we had only had the Old Testament, and if we had only had the account of God's saving act, we should be the poorer. Ah, I like the words of the great missionary statesman Albert Schweitzer. Jesus spoke in Galilee before the world's clock struck. The world's clock struck when Jesus died and rose again. The apostles spoke afterwards. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus spoke on earth before the cross, looking to the range ahead. The apostles were standing on the range. And so we have this tremendous blessing. We cannot say, and I don't think we must say, that God has left the best until last in the scriptures. But he has surely, in the apostles, left the richest for us. For here they speak so much of our risen Lord and his grace in dying and rising and sending the Holy Spirit and enabling us to walk by faith individually and collectively. Let's pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have not left us bereft to our own resources, but you have given to us your word that anticipated Jesus, that accounts for Jesus, and applies Jesus. And grant that we, meditating on your word, will rejoice in the riches of the apostles. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.